with you people. It is the Starship Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis on 720 WGN, WGN everywhere, the World Wide Web, the stream, the WGN app, which we suggest people get.
We do. That's a great way to go. Did I hear right? Felicity Huffman got 14 days in prison? Is that what's happening?
14 days in the hole.
Thoughts and prayers sending her.
Yeah.
Hope she can get through it.
We hope she makes it.
What is
and
that?
Community service.
Oh, my God. The cherry on top. Pray for her.
I mean, how many mashed potatoes can you spoon out in an hour? I mean, what are you doing? What's she going to do? What, you know what? I love when they say they can do community service. You know what the sucky community service is?
What's the sucky?
That roadside community service.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Where it's like Cool Hand Luke and you're standing on a roadside. Like you're chained to each other and you got a stick in your hand. Just shaking a leaf here, boss. Just shaking a branch here, boss.
I don't get the sense that's what she'll be doing.
What does a celebrity do for community service?
Oh, a homeless shelter.
Volunteer
or something.
At soup kitchens.
Write a check to a charity organization?
No, I don't think you can write a check to get out of this. I think it's hours.
Okay.
How many hours does it take to write a check?
It's like Jussie Smollett, who did all that community service. Sorry for bringing him up on a Friday.
Oh, gosh. Kevin.
Sorry. We're all in a good
mood. Did you have to go there?
Why would you do that, Kevin?
Oh, my gee.
Forget I said anything.
You know I don't like when you do that, Kevin.
We get the dark side of Roe.
I know, right off the bat.
Now,
we'll get there eventually. It's just not right at the top.
Right, exactly. The first 3 minutes. we really should be free and clear of that. All right, so let's just talk a little bit about this. 14 days, and she's got to go to some sort of federal thing for 14 days. So they could send her to the Metropolitan Correctional Center in L.A., which is the federal. But that's not pleasant time for 14 days.
I don't think any jail time, prison time, any of that is ever really enjoyable, is it? I mean, 14 days seems like a short period of time, but it's still.
I know some people came back and were like, hey, you know, what was it? It was fine. It was fine. I could do that time stand on my head.
Because the alternative for that person might have been worse. That's the issue.
Yeah. So, you know, the camps, I mean, it's not pleasant, but I don't think it's going to be Orange is the New Black for her. Oh, my God, but she will be in a prison show, won't she? This will be something.
She might.
George Papadopoulos, what did he end up doing?
George Papadopoulos.
Didn't he end up
he spent a couple days.
A couple
nothing,
weeks?
Nothing, because it was before, by the time we almost knew about it, it was over.
Right. Maybe 30 days, 28 days, something like that.
Something like that. 14-day also, 14 just days? Like Felicity.
All right. So we should call him and ask him what that's like for 14 days.
Yeah, that's right. We should try to get him on the show. He's in Chicago a lot.
And then there was another guy from that whole deal, too. There was one of Roger Stone's guys went in for 14 days. It's like that's the 14-day rule. You know, that's not even rehab. That's half a rehab. We have to make your own bed. I mean, this is nothing. Stop whining.
Well, I think you know who's whining right now, or not whining, but is upset, is Lori Loughlin. I mean, what are the chances that she, a holdout, isn't cooperating, isn't pleading guilty? What are the chances she's going to get less than 14 days?
Not at all.
Nothing.
No
zero.
Chance. Zippity-doo-dah. Zippity-a.
She's got to be the one most stunned by this.
One of the things I found compelling about the Felicity Huffman letter was that she said that she had felt compelled to do this, sort of guilted into paying this money to these people that were going to fix the test results.
Right, because they falsified by a proctor. She had a special proctor sit with her daughter during the SAT, and it raised her scores.
Hey! Oh, number 16, C!
Is that how it works?
Something like that.
Yeah.
So the you didn't fill that in right here. Let me handle that for you, and just kind of goes down the list. That is, to me, that almost, you know, it's a funny thing, because you know what you're trying to do. You're trying to game the system, but you're trying to game the system to compete against other people just like you, right? Because there are so many slots that are available to privileged kids.
Well, but privilege doesn't get really, is that weighed by a college?
It
your
is.
Privilege?
Sure.
I mean, I think if you don't have privilege, if you come from a low income background, that certainly is taken into account.
Right.
But does it come into account that your parents have millions?
Yes, because then you're competing with a lot of other kids who have millions. It's more competitive in those slots, is my point. that the kids who have kids who come from, I mean, you look at it in Chicago, in the Chicago public school system. Remember when Bruce Rauner tried to clout his kid before
Walter
he was
Payton.
Governor to Walter Payton? Right? I mean, it's really hard for the kids of privilege to get into a lot of these programs.
Listen to what you're saying. Just the beginning of that sentence. It's really hard for the kids of privilege.
Yeah, it's true, though.
There are more slots available for schools that are of privilege, where they have high-performing student populations. They give them more slots at elite universities.
The point is that you got a lot of millionaires and billionaires trying to get their kids into USC or to UCLA or whatever it happens to be.
Earn your way in. Isn't that the whole point of this?
Yes. So what they're trying to do,
or a kid who comes from nothing,
right? But there is a weighting system, and these kids are not going to get the first look, and that's why what she's saying in this article. I know I'm not trying to make people feel sorry for Felicity Huffman or rich people or people of privilege. I'm not trying to make people feel sorry for it. I'm trying to explain what her motivation was. Her motivation was she realizes that her kid's up against a bunch of other kids who are coming out of fancy prep schools or high performing programs in high schools, and she does it, so she needs to get an edge, and her edge to get that kid into where she wants to send her to school is the only way to get that edge was to go through this, and that's how she felt about it. And even though it was illegal and it was cheating and it shouldn't be done, and now it's going to scare everybody. I mean, once you send a rich white woman to prison for 14 days, that's going to get a lot of people's attention. There's going to be a lot of people sitting in hairdresser chairs right now talking about that right in Hollywood.
Possibly, then, yeah. I mean, the prosecutors brought up that whole idea that, you know, just because she's rich doesn't mean she should be spared. When they brought up cases, and there were a couple in the Midwest, or at least one, where a mom had to go to prison for 10 days for changing her address. You know how you want to be in a certain school district or be able to go to a certain school, but you don't live within the boundaries?
Yeah.
That, you know, there are moms and dads, I suppose, that have spent a couple days in prison for that violation.
All right.
It's crazy.
Mike Jantz is going to join us in just a second here on the phone, tell us what the weather is going to be like for the weekend as we look ahead to that. Again, I'm going to stand up for the rich, privileged housewives of Hollywood and Beverly Hills.
Somebody needs to.
That is what I'm going to do. I am standing up for them. They can't catch a break.
Organize a march down Michigan Avenue.
Of all the Real Housewives.
Oak Street. There's going to be a march down Oak Street. We're going to end with a reception at Tavern on Rush.
Of course. Why not? Bethany Frankel could join. And you get a lot of big names.
We should march from Neiman Marcus down Michigan Avenue to Oak Street. Turn left.
And finish with bottomless mimosas.
Right. And everybody should do that. I'm just telling you. Somebody has to stand up.
Where's the rosé?
Right, for the rich and powerful. Oh, wait, no, there already is a guy doing that.
There you go.
All right, let's check in with Kim, see what's going on in the news at the bottom of the hour.
We're following the flooding in Lake County. We'll bring you the latest on rescues and rain totals coming up.
The animals, trap, 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 till the cages fall. The cages fall, the day is new, and everyone is waiting, waiting on you and you.
All right.
Orange is the New Black theme. For those of you who don't watch the show.
For Felicity Huffman. So we're going to send that to her in an audio file just to let her know. All right. Mike Jansen from WGN-TV News Weather is standing by right now for us. Are you in Lake County right now?
Yeah, I'm actually in Waukegan at the moment.
Hey. And
yeah, are you there?
Very well. And the flooding has been throughout the area there, right? Very, very bad.
Yeah, it was bad. Actually, I'm on Helmholtz Avenue, just to the east of Jackson. And it's funny because you come down the street and it actually drops down. The up where Jackson is, you're up quite a bit. And then you come down to the bottom of the hill and it runs off into a creek here. And you can tell that this would be an area that the water will back up. It goes up. And I was actually just walked and stood next to, there was a couple of houses here that the city has deemed uninhabitable. They've got the signs up saying dangerous building, you know, you can't live in there, not approved for occupancy. And I stood next to the one house on the sidewalk and roughly guesstimated that based on my height, that the water line was about 6 feet. So that's how much water they had down here.
Wow.
That kind of built up. So it made it, you know, flooded out the basements. There is a gentleman that's helping to clean out one of the houses, the basement anyway. And then they had, you could tell, probably about 2 or 3 feet of water in the first floor of the home as well. So the one house did appear. It's got a foundation of the concrete block that has given way just a little bit. So that's part of the issue, I think, that they're trying to keep people out of there. So, you know, it's a very remote little spot. And you have just these two houses that are at the bottom of the hill next to the creek. And so, you know, it just filled up like a bowl down here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And for this weekend, is there going to be more rain?
Hey, we could get some rain on Saturday night, overnight Saturday into Sunday. Doesn't look anything like what we just went through. It doesn't look like we're going to have as much moisture in the air. I mean, boy, you walked around yesterday, you could just kind of tell it was just hanging all over you. So you put that much moisture in there, and once it starts raining like it was, you looked at the water values that were in the air itself, and it was like 2 inches of rain, and we had places that were getting close to 4 inches last night. And you go back over to last week, did some Doppler estimates and just adding up some numbers, there were some spots, especially if you got closer to the Wisconsin in line there in McHenry County, of estimates of upward to 9 inches of rain since Monday. So we've had plenty of rain up here. I mean, if you're in the city, you kind of watched it. You didn't see anything
right.
like what, they,
totally
what they've had up here at all.
No. So Waukegan impacted, where else are the flooded areas right now? Where else are we seeing flooding?
It seemed like most of the water has now gone down.
Okay.
Libertyville, though, this morning, we had some cars that were running into places that were flooded. There was the Jewel Osco in Libertyville that that was flooded as well. Their parking lot had a lot of water in it. It seems like most of it has gone down now. It went up, and then it went down. It's not like it's still sitting here. I mean, you could tell that the water was here just because when you walk around and look at the water line, and, you know, vegetation, all these bushes and stuff that are around, once that water goes down, it leaves the silt on there.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have green plants as much as you do gray or brown because the water has gone down now. So it doesn't appear that it's still an issue in terms of still ongoing flooding. It's more of the, okay, now we've got to clean up.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we were discussing earlier, Judy Wang from WGN was up here, and this is becoming a little more common. You know, things like, you know, they use the term 100-year flood, and they're not, you know, that doesn't mean you're only going to see that kind of flood once every 100 years. It's just kind of the odds of it happening. Well, they're becoming more frequent, and this seems like it's happening a lot more. We're getting these heavy, heavy rainfalls. And flooding is becoming a bigger problem, not just up here, but in so many spots in and around Chicagoland.
We are going to have to change the name of those things.
I think we do.
Yeah, we do. All right. Thank you so much, Mike. Appreciate your time. Mike Jansen.
You're welcome.
WGN TV.
Thanks, Mike.
And CLTV and all the rest of the TVs that you can possibly imagine that we're involved with here at WGN Radio, which has the WGN News coming your way with Kim Gordon right now. Brought to you by AmericasBath.com.
We bring social workers into homes of parents to help them deal with how to raise their children. It's not that they don't want to help. They don't know quite what to do. Play the radio. Make sure the television, make sure you have the record player on at night, the phone. Make sure the kids hear words. A kid coming from a very poor school, a very poor background, will hear 4 million words fewer spoken by the time they get there. There's
Thank
so
you, Mr.
much.
President.
No, I'm going to go like the rest of them do, twice over, okay? Because
was he going to say phonograph?
Yeah.
After record player.
Yeah. Yeah. It was quaint.
It was already dated enough reference.
I got home last night late from my... off yesterday from here, but I was working on another project. I got home and I was tired, and I thought, God, I have to watch this for work, right? I got to watch this today.
Yeah.
So I'm going to lie in bed, and I'm going to watch this. And there were a few moments, I'm not going to lie to you, there were a few moments where I started to nod off. And then I woke up just in time for that. And I
so
thought,
you probably thought you were not hearing it right.
No, I thought I was dreaming. I thought I was listening to the 1968 debate is what I thought I was listening to. And I did notice this, that it does appear to me, and I may be wrong about this, but Joe Biden looks like an age progression trick in Hollywood. He looks like Benjamin Button when he was born. I mean, that's it's like, you know, where they, you know, where they take a guy and they go, they take Tom Hanks, they go, you know what we got to do? We got to make him look old. So we're going to make his eyebrows gray and his hair gray, but he's, but his face is still going to look like it's 50.
Yeah, his face,
which is what
like kind
of what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Philip Bump from the Washington Post is with us, and he has his own thoughts on what was happening there last night. All right, so a lot of there's a lot of media hysteria about Beto O'Rourke today, because Beto O'Rourke, you know, said, "Hell yeah, we're going to take your AR-15s about the gun debate," and what he stands for is forced buybacks, essentially, of the the assault weapons, you know, the semi-automatic assault weapons. And then there was some a state rep in Texas then said, hey, Robert Francis, which is Beto's real name on Twitter, said, my AR's ready for you. And then Beto's like, that's a threat. And so there's a day two on all of this. But do you think that this is going to play as a major issue for Democrats, Philip Bump?
It's a great question. I actually just sent a piece to my editors looking at polling on this. The answer is that I don't really think so. I mean, I think that this issue has been seized upon in the past 12, 24 hours as something that, oh, look, Beto O'Rourke just damaged the Democrats with this thing. I don't really buy it. I mean, that guy in Texas that you just referred to, the guy who made that comment about come and get it, you know, this is a Republican legislator. He wasn't going to vote for the Democrat next year anyway. And I think that a lot of the people who are going to have that sort of reaction were never going to vote for a Democrat. They already bought into this idea that the Democrats wanted to get rid of these weapons anyhow. In this May, one of the key questions of 2020 is who will be invigorated to come out to vote. This may be the sort of thing that really invigorates Democrats to say, you know what, I'm going to go out and vote for the party if this is the sort of thing they're advocating.
You're talking about the AR-15 in particular, or?
Yeah, I mean, the buyback program is specific to these assault-style rifles like the AR-15 and the AK-47.
But I wonder, Philip, if it has the reverse effect for conservatives. You see Ted Cruz right now is already tweeting about how Beto wants to take our guns, and when I said that, he said that on PolitiFact, told him that he was lying and that it was a false statement. Now he's showing T-shirts about, hell yes, they're going to take our guns. It seems,
but not guns, though. That's the thing. He's not talking about guns.
Well, AR-15s. He's labeling the AR-15s, and he's saying now that this is a new T-shirt for conservatives. They're trying to campaign and raise money off of it.
Right.
So it could go both ways.
So there are some questions whether or not this invigorates the conservative base. But one thing to remember is Democrats vote less heavily than Republicans do. And so invigorating the Republican base means something different than invigorating the Democratic base. And we have recent polling on this. The Post and ABC just released a poll. Half the country actually supports this idea of taking these guns off the street by doing a mandatory buyback program. So it's going to be interesting to see the extent to which anyone besides Beto embraces this. But it certainly is the case that, you know, Ted Cruz is preaching to the choir, and he's doing so exactly as you said, because he's going to raise money off of it.
Right. You know, it's interesting because it seems like it was a really good night for O'Rourke, as you said. Nate Silver did his reviews, like who won the debate, and he basically took, you know, you probably saw it, weighed how you came into it, what favorability ratings, and then how you were right after the debate, and it seemed like Warren did the best of anyone and even increased on her already favorable ratings. Booker had a good night, Buttigieg according to that poll, and O'Rourke with Biden and Castro going down the most.
Oh boy. Oh boy, when Castro went after Biden, that was another moment. Like you see at the nursing home where the son gets real mad at the aging dad and starts yelling at him in front of all the other inmates, you know. And you're like, oh no, oh that's mean. Oh no, don't fight. Oh come on, the old man, he doesn't understand, you know. And that's kind of where it was, you know. And it was, and you wonder. And listen, it's not just Castro. If following that, Booker in an interview said, hey, you know, a lot of people are worried about whether or not we can get the ball, that Biden can get the ball across the finish line here, as he said, or he'll fumble it. And I think that's a real concern. I got to tell you, every time Biden talked, I had like one eye closed, like, oh no,
nervous.
Just get through it. Just get through the sentence.
Yeah, no, I mean, I've spent the past 3 years hearing from Democrats of all stripes, oh, Donald Trump isn't fit, he's got these mental problems, yada, 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 and people try and push this all the time. And that is very much not the sort of thing I'm hearing about Joe Biden right now. Obviously, Joe Biden is one of the older candidates in the field, and obviously there is a lot of there are a lot of minds in this particular minefield we're talking about. But this is not something that we hear regularly. I'm curious to see if that's in part because people really aren't paying that much attention. You know, it's not as though everyone in America is tuning into these things. I'm curious if that'll change over time. I will say that I think one of the things that Castro did wrong yesterday is he seemed to be playing to the room. He seemed to be, like, he said that thing, like, hey, you just said it 2 minutes ago, three or four times. It sounded like he was trying to be heard over the audience.
Yeah.
But the TV audience instead just heard him saying it over and over, and it seemed a little more bossy than it might otherwise have.
Yeah, and I it seemed like he was waiting for a moment like that. Mm-hmm. Like, that was,
yeah,
he knew that's what he was going to try to do. I found it really interesting that Biden, by the time it was over, he seemed tired. And what was even worse, if you take Bernie, Biden, and Elizabeth Warren, they're 214 years old when you combine them, right? Or something like that, a little bit, maybe older, 216 years old. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like, that's a lot of age up there. And Bernie, I don't know, he lost his voice maybe on the campaign trail, allergies, cold, whatever it was.
Right, he didn't have it all.
He didn't sound well. And I thought, you know, if there's anything at this juncture when you still have 10 people in the field and you're trying to winnow it out and people in categories have two in each category. And so I think Bernie and Elizabeth Warren are kind of in the same category. They're the, you know, the sort of stated socialists. Isn't it I think this might be his exit. He cannot possibly have tested well out of last night.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Bernie has a very solid base of support that he carries over from 2016. It tends to be people who aren't paying that much attention yet so far this year, so I don't know that that's going to do much damage to him. I think you're right, though, that of the three of them, Warren seems like, she doesn't seem like she's the same age as Sanders and Biden, which I think probably plays to her advantage. I will say, though, to your point about Biden over the course of the evening, that clip that you played at the outset, the weird record player thing, which I dug into at the Washington Post today, but that came about 2.25 hours into this. So this was after a lot of debate that had already transpired, and I think the fact that we were that far along also played a role in his sort of stumbling over what he was saying.
Yeah.
It does seem like, Warren, if you didn't know who was polling at what last night, and you just sort of closed your eyes and kind of heard them and then opened them and saw them, you would think Warren was the front runner. I mean, I think she conducted herself in a very consistent way. She seemed to be jumping right on the answers and didn't seem to mess up at all. And I guess that is part of the reason why at the end she rose quite favorably in these polls.
Yeah, I think one of the things she's good at is being good at debating without seeming like she's good at debating, right? She doesn't come off as a politician who was trying to say things in order to have a political effect in the way that we just discussed with Julian Castro. She instead just sort of, like, you just sort of are left with this impression, like, oh, she did talk a lot about her personal story, but she weaves it in a way that is a lot less obvious than you expect from most politicians, and I think that plays to her advantage.
Yeah,
there's something, it's funny, in the debate setting, there is something about Kamala Harris and her vocal presentation in the debate setting that is different than when she is on the stump.
Mm-hmm.
She starts to answer questions. She's a little more nasally. I hate to get stuck on just the dynamics of it, but that affects people, right? How you sound affects people. And there's almost kind of a whine sound to it. And I thought, wow, that is, I'm not 100% sure that when she's on the stump and she's talking, she can, and she has a prepared speech and she knows what she's going to punch in those speeches.
Mm-hmm.
She's pretty good. But when she's just trying to make her point, you kind of like about halfway through, like, oh, okay, I get it. All right, let's move on. And it's that. And I found her I think she's one of those stars that people thought was really going to be there. And then maybe if not on the top of the ticket, maybe on the bottom of the ticket. And I'm not even sure. Most bottom of the ticket don't come from the debate stage, right? They come from somewhere else. But I think even the hopes of that, now slim though they may have been, are now dashed.
I think she has one of the all-time best debate moments in that first debate when she hammered Biden on the school busing thing. It was extremely well delivered. It did great numbers for her in the polling and really seemed to set her apart for a moment. Then that faded. And I think that part of the challenge she has now is she's trying too hard to recapture that. She had a couple of canned lines last night, which she'd obviously rehearsed, which I think she's not as good at delivering those rehearsed moments as, you know, other people may be. And I think it seemed like she was sort of struggling to try and land a really hard punch and just wasn't able to do it.
Right. And she likes to talk about her great experience, but also playing her youth too. It's confusing. The whole damn thing is confusing as I was watching it last night. But again, I mean, it was 10. I'm just really hoping that the time we get to the next debate, that we really are down to like the power five.
I think it's 11. That's already announced.
Yeah, it's going back up.
Oh, bro.
For God's
sorry.
Sake.
So sorry.
Oh, wait, who got added? Oh, please tell me it's Marianne Williamson. Who got added?
That would be fun.
No, Tom Steyer.
Tom Steyer's back.
Wait,
all right.
Wait, no, who's got that debate now? Who's next?
Is that Phil? Ooh, do you know? Is
I
it
don't
CNN?
Remember.
All right. It was just announced today.
All right. Okay.
CNN, New York Times.
Oh, for God's sake.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Bastards, all of them. All right, Philip Bump, Washington Post, the good guys. Thank you very much. Appreciate it,
Thanks, Philip.
Thank you, sir.
Right. Bye. 224 years, by the way, Biden, Sanders, and Warren.
I forgot to ask Philip. I have an Amazon package that got lost. I need him to go look for that for me.
I'm sure he'll handle that. He talks to Jeff Bezos every day.
Let's... That's exactly what Donald Trump said. Let's find out from Kim what's coming up at the top of the hour in the newsroom.
Roa Gurney teen is suing e-cigarette maker Juul just a week after he was hospitalized for a vaping-related illness. We'll bring you the details coming up.
Kim Gordon's got the WGN News from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming up in just a few minutes. And then we've got... Lauren Lapka's off today.
Right.
We still have events happening this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And Jen DeSalvo will have the DeSalvo agenda. I don't like it.
Jen's agenda? Isn't that better?
That sounds like a game.
Jen's agenda. Except Jen's very athletic. I just wonder if there are some things on this that we're not going to be able to achieve personally. It'll be more of an aspirational kind of list.
5Ks, marathons.
Things you could do
right.
if you were
all, right.
I heard
superhuman.
My name. I was looking for somebody who lost their readers.
Oh, isn't that nice of you? We have a radio show going on here.
I'm sorry. Trying to do Good Samaritan stuff. And I'm like,
excuse
I think they're
me,
talking about me.
Does anybody here have and these glasses for anybody? We're on the radio!
Well, it's hard to find your glasses when you don't have your glasses because you can't see. You need a helper.
All right. Listen.
Jen, that was very nice of you.
All of that is coming your way. Stay tuned. All that's coming your way after the news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom with Kim Gordon in 2 minutes. It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis on 720 WGN.
Time for Jen's Agenda.
I don't know.
Is that what we're calling
it? I don't know. Lauren's list is off today, and so Jen's in with her agenda.
Yeah, my weekend agenda.
Yeah. Now you're like a super athlete of some form. You're always running 100 miles here, 100 miles there.
Mm-hmm. Kind of.
She's got like a race to Milwaukee and back.
Oh, you know, that happens. Thanksgiving weekend.
Oh.
It's the world's longest turkey trot, the Friday after Thanksgiving from Milwaukee to Chicago. It switches every year, or Chicago to Milwaukee, about 100 miles.
So we were just concerned that your list is going to be kind of hard for most of us to sort of take part in.
No, definitely not. But, you know, hey.
Well, hold on. I'm not done with this Milwaukee thing. So literally, you get up the morning of after Thanksgiving,
mm-hmm.
and you run from here to Milwaukee.
Yeah, or hop on the Metro up to or Amtrak, whatever that is.
How long does it take you to run 100 miles?
Oh, God. I only did it once. It took me 34 hours. I'm kind of ashamed of how long it took.
What?
But a typical person who runs that distance, it's like 24 to 30 hours.
24 to 30 hours.
Do you sleep
in
between
there?
Yeah,
no,
go
how
nonstop.
Does it work? There's no sleeping. Nope. You just keep going through. Well, you try not to sleep. It accidentally happened a couple of times when I did it, but...
Like,
you know.
While you're still running? I mean, how does that work?
Like, you sit down, and then all of a sudden, you just fall asleep until, you know, one of your crew members is like, nope, get up, get out, go. And, yeah, that's...
Who the hell wants to be a crew member on this thing?
Yeah, I'd rather be the crew member than the runner.
My husband proposed to me about a month and a half after he was my crew member.
It's like a NASCAR pit crew.
I don't know how that happened.
All right, change her. She's got a flat shoe.
Change her shoes.
Kind of what, yeah,
well,
change out the socks.
Is he a super runner thing, too? Why did that...
He is the antithesis of that.
Why?
He likes music, he likes fashion, and I'm the jock. So.
Mm-hmm. All right, so how did you two meet?
Playing beach volleyball with Chicago Sport and Social at North Avenue Beach.
Yeah. I used to play with them, too. I love that group.
Worked in this situation. We met each other. So I played for sport. He played for social.
Classic rivalry.
Interesting.
You're a better player than him?
No, I'm still... I'm not good with any...
No, she just runs from Milwaukee to Chicago.
That's the reason why I run. It's the only thing I'm good at. Just putting one foot in front of the other, right? Yeah.
And you're eating the whole time, right? They give you like a turkey leg, a meatball sandwich to keep you carved up and whatnot?
Definitely explain this to Kevin once. Like, that's the main reason to do it. Because the aid stations have literally meatball subs, turkey sandwiches, chocolate cupcakes, cookies. And so you train your body to be able... Because, I mean, you need a lot. You need a lot of sustenance. So you train your body to...
Yeah, you're running from Milwaukee to Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Meatball marathon's got heartburn written all over it.
Kevin, you probably eat that anyway in a normal day.
But that world's longest turkey trot is just not to do it. Like months ago, I had told you guys about a friend who was an ultra runner who passed away from ALS. So now my friends do it in order to raise money for ALS.
How long are you down for the count after that run? Like, are you taking a week off, just feet up on the couch doing nothing?
It just depends. It just depends.
Can you walk upstairs again? Because I have friends who do marathons and they can't walk upstairs afterwards for a day or two.
It does depend. I try to get out there like after a couple of days to try and run it out. I don't know. It's just muscle memory, I guess.
You're insane.
Yeah, I know.
I'm canceling this segment right now.
Yeah, well, guys, I'm not going to have anything like this on the segment unless all you want to go out to Rockford because there is an ultra marathon this weekend.
I got that thing.
What is that? How many miles is that?
Well, there's the Hobo Trail runs. There is a 10K tonight, which is 6.2 miles. Mm-hmm. And then you can do the 50K tomorrow, which is 31 miles. And on Sunday, the 25K, which is like, I don't know.
Half of that.
Yeah. 15?
16 and a half.
So. Yeah.
Do you have anything in your list involving like drinking beer, listening to music, not running?
Well, okay. Get your husband on the phone.
So the Chicago Bourbon and Barbecue Festival is on Saturday
now
and
we're
Sunday
talking.
In
now
Roscoe
we're talking.
Village. Yes.
Okay. All right.
It's on Roscoe. It's just west of Damon. It's a $5 suggested donation to get in, but you can pay $35 to get 12 tastings. If you can't hold that much whiskey, you can get 4 tastings for $16. There's chicken and ribs and soulful music. More information at chicagoevents.com. Or if you have a sweet tooth, the dessert festival at Lincoln Park Zoo. Now, this looks awesome.
That does sound good.
Oh, the zoo smells funny. Who wants to have a dessert while tiramisu, like near the monkey house?
Well,
that's bad.
You put chocolate in your face, then maybe you can't smell the monkeys. I don't know. Dessert tastes.
The ringtail lemur smells terrible. I just want to tell you that. All right.
Even the sea lion area can get a little stanky on occasion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the lions are gone for a while now. Did you see that? The lions, they took the lions out.
Yeah, I don't even know where they go.
I'm telling you something. I don't live too far from the zoo. Mm-hmm. You get a good northeasterly wind, and I can smell a lion pee in my house.
Well, what happened to the lions? They on vacation?
They went to Florida. They're Jewish.
A safari?
Yeah, so they sent them down to... Let's send them down to Florida for the winter.
Do you know if they are redoing the Lion House?
They
or
are.
If
yes.
Okay.
Well, that's good.
That's why they're doing
I'm
it.
Happy about that.
Yeah.
That's really
not
cool.
Because they're, no. It's not because they're religious in any way, shape, or form. I would like to apologize to everybody who was offended. All right, so...
That's tomorrow night, 6:30 to 11.
All right, and we have to have dessert. And okay, all right.
Yeah, the Lakeview East Festival of the Arts, Broadway between Belmont and Addison, Saturday and Sunday. I'm giving you all Northside things here. Let's find something else that's going on. Oh, wait. How about you guys tell us a little bit about this Green Tie Ball?
That's right. Ro and I are hosting tonight. It's at the Alhambra Palace on West Randolph in the glorious West Loop area, raising money for green space across the city of Chicago. It's an awesome event, and we'll be there. Kev's going to be there.
I'll be watching you guys MC heckling you while I post up at the open bar.
That's right. It's open bar, and like the restaurants just bring it. It's just great restaurants, and you get little plates, and you try everything, and you walk around, and it's not a stuffy kind of black tie. It's very like cool and laid back.
Sounds fun. And doesn't sound like overindulging on one thing, like whiskey or chocolate.
Oh, I'll be overindulging.
Oh, no, there's tons of indulging.
I plan on overserving myself.
This thing started as like a young, they used to call it on the board training wheels black tie because it was a green tie, so it was fun, like not a stuffy black tie, but for people who want to go and they want to get dressed up and they want to it's like basically it was like prom plus is what it was like,
it was a way to get younger people involved in caring about our city and the green space.
Well, it was a way for young people to get involved in getting drunk in the meeting. And they would, and people would come in packs, you know. It wasn't, they weren't, you know, you weren't necessarily going with your date. It was a bunch of young women and a bunch of young men. It was almost like just a dressed up version of the old St. Pat's party.
Oh, was, the black party kind of thing? Yeah, where everybody meets each other.
Yeah, that's how it was really designed. And over the years, the you know, the original attendees, I mean, I think it's 28 years old now. The original attendees now all want to go to a black tie thing and they want to sit down. You know, it's like a totally different thing. But
what time's dinner at?
Yeah, but they still keep a very, you know, they try to keep a very young vibe because they're still trying to, you know, they decided they're, you know, they have to appeal to people who've been on the, you know, been doing this for a quarter century. But they also, you know, they still have the young intake because it's a night where a lot of numbers are going to get passed back and forth.
Huh. Did you go when you were a young swinging single?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Man on the make.
I was never a young swinging single. I was young, married with a kid when you were young. When this whole thing started.
This sounds like fantastic people watching.
But
it is.
Over the years, I found myself single. You know, throughout those, you know, if you want to just, I have a flow chart back here. I'll show you.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, but years I was available.
He keeps it in his office for when I ask Ro about times of his career. Goes, well, when we get to 2001 over
right.
here.
Yeah, now,
take out the chart.
2001, I was single. I mean, so that was a moment. That was a thing right there. So 2000 to 2003, let's see, and then now 2015 to present. So that's been it is so much fun. People will have a great time there tonight. I don't want to make light of it because it's a great organization. Grant DePorter works
massively hard, and it's called I Dream of Greeny this year. Cute
Alhambra Palace tonight, and I don't know. You have to go on the website if you want.
Cav, you know the website, don't you?
Gatewaygreen.org.
Yay!
I believe. Yeah. I hope that's right.
Perfect. That looks like what I have on my little list.
Beautiful.
Here.
Nailed it.
Yeah. Well, the LaGrange Home and History Tour is tomorrow from noon to 5. And so that's a little bit more cultured. No food or drink involved. So meeting places are the Historical Society and Emmanuel Episcopal Church. It's a $40 fee for non-members. But, you know, to check out historic architecture sounds like a good time. Oh, Riot Fest is also this weekend.
Oh, right, Riot Fest.
Blink 182 headlining tonight. Tickets only start at $50. That's not bad at all.
No, for a music fest.
For Blink 182, I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, especially since it's a really good music festival. So.
Who else is on the bill? Do they have the other acts? There's always acts that sound like a criminal act, right?
Oh, the Flaming Lips is going to be that. Wow.
Oh, I like
right, or a medical
lips.
Condition.
It's like the Riot Fest sounds a lot more harsh than it actually is.
Right.
It's like,
well, it's Blink 182. Blink 182 has never started a riot.
Rancid, mosh pits. Violent Femmes, Dashboard Confessional.
Wow, the Reconteurs.
Slayer. Slayer is there. Okay.
It's a great lineup for $50.
Wu-Tang Clan.
Wow.
Oh.
What?
The B-52s.
Block Party.
Oh, my gosh. Wait. Village People? Is this serious?
It's got to be a bit.
No, really that's all. That must be. I think. Well, there's a version of them out now.
Wow.
I don't know if it's all the originals. And who would know? Who would care?
Andrew W.K. Come on.
Huh.
So wait, Wu-Tang Clan? Really?
Wu-Tang Clan. Yeah, tomorrow.
Are they touring?
Isn't there like a new documentary on Hulu that just came out about them too?
Yes. And what happens when that Shkreli guy? Is he out of jail?
The Pharma Bro.
Yeah.
The Martin Shkreli.
Will he be in attendance? Maybe he can take Felicity Huffman as his date.
Oh, man. Show the ropes.
Yeah. With all due respect to Lala, this lineup is so much better, at least more appealing to me.
Yeah.
Well, you've heard of the act.
Right.
And the ticket prices are a little less expensive, too.
It
is more attractive to a 25-plus audience.
This is millennial central.
Right, people will be in more clothing.
More, exactly.
Right. Less clothing at Green Tie Ball, more clothing at Riot Fest. All right.
Did you guys realize it's the last weekend of Ravinia?
Oh wow, really? Already?
Yeah. Mary J. Blige tonight, Morrissey and Interpol tomorrow, and Fiesta Ravinia on Sunday, and they're playing Coco, so the kids would love that. But it's also the first weekend of Fright Fest at Six Flags.
Okay.
Oh my gosh, that's fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got a lot in there.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say. and we ran to Milwaukee. Let's see, what do we do here?
Well, there is, there's also a 100-mile bike ride on the North Shore from Evanston, if you guys are interested.
Yeah, I got that thing.
Can you pull row when you bike? Like, can you pull them in one of the, like, sidecars or something?
Yeah, well, actually,
it's like a baby car in bed.
Say he did it. It's called the North Shore Century, but really what it is, I mean, you know, some hardcore bikers and cyclists will be out there going 100 miles, but it is a family event. You could do a 25-mile ride. It's $10 for kids 17 and under, $60 for family members, but they provide food. Like, every so few miles, there's an aid station where you can eat all that food I love to eat when I ride.
See, I don't like the idea of having to pull into an aid station. You know, I don't mind a bar, I don't mind a restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
I mind an aid station.
Well, aid station is nice because they come and walk it over to you real quick, right? They think you might want to get out of there.
Oh, yeah. Like, the volunteers, they'll grab your packs and your bottles and they'll fill them up for you. You're getting pampered.
Yeah, but I want a hospitality tent. I want, I don't want anything that says aid. Like, oh, you know, like, they got aid stations in the Bahamas right now. That's, I don't want to think about it like that.
That is true.
Yeah.
Hospitality tents on the Marin. Is this air conditioned?
Yeah, I want a hospitality tent.
Where's the bar?
Yeah. That's what I'm, that's what I'm looking for.
Can I get a martini, please?
Yeah.
Do you guys take text message request on this listener or this list? Displaying's Fall Fest this weekend, Seventh Heaven.
Oh.
What are we, John Williams? What's going on here? How do we know that's going on?
It is. I just drove to Displaying's and okay. I saw a bunch right. of signs. I was in Displaying's today.
Okay, Displaying, what is it?
It is Displaying's Fall Fest is this weekend. Seventh Heaven opens for Red Wanting Blue on Sunday.
Oh, sure.
Nobody plays the Northwest Burbs more than Seventh Heaven. That's a fact. They are a hit in the Northwest Burbs.
They're great.
It's like 16 Candles right. on the north side.
I believe that Seventh Heaven and 16
up,
right? Candles are the same band.
I get them mixed up. It's one of those two.
Because sometimes you got, isn't that a guy from 16? wait, what number is that?
They played halftime at the first Bears game. Did you see that? 16 that was, Candles? That was, mm-hmm. yeah,
are there
something.
Groupies for those bands?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Beyond.
There is. There
yes.
really is.
That I, that that USO thing, that Clark After Dark, they play that every year.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And there's they're just people there band. For them. I mean, half that crowd is just there for them. It's crazy.
I mean, you don't have to travel far. You can go to, like, the north side on Friday and then, like, the northwest side on Saturday.
Yeah,
and then
see? Yeah.
maybe a little closer into the city center on Sunday.
Yeah, and Jen runs that whole thing. I could just get on Jen's back and have her run me up to the, or like a rickshaw. Do you do a rickshaw? You'd be great at a rickshaw.
It'd help build leg muscle.
Yeah. All right, I think it's time to go.
You're exhausted just listening to
I am. I honest to God am. All right, Kim, what's coming up in the news at the bottom of the hour?
Actress Felicity Huffman learns her punishment in the college admission scandal. We'll have the details coming up.
I need to feel you, Jerry. Show me the money. Jerry, you better yell. Show me the money. Show me the money. He's the Lord, it's Black Man.
Lee Steinberg is in the studio with us, the super agent.
Yes.
Actually, his name is synonymous with super agent. You basically, I think you're the first one they ever called a super agent, aren't you, Lee?
Well, back when woolly mammoths and saber-toothed tigers were roaming the earth, back in 1975, I got started with the first pick in the first round of the NFL draft, and that was Steve Bartkowski.
Hmm. Oh, that's not a bad one to have. And now, how did you do that? Were you a lawyer just practicing in your own way?
I had grown up in Los Angeles, but went to Berkeley in the late 60s. And I was student body president when the governor of California was Ronald Reagan. So every time we would demonstrate, he'd crack down. I learned everything I needed to learn about negotiating from those crises.
Wow.
So I was a dorm counselor in an undergrad dorm, working my way through law school, and they moved the freshman football team into the dorm, and he was one of the students. So I get out of law school, I'm traveling around the world for a year. He asked me to represent him. There I was, brimming with legal experience. and the draft then was in January, but the sort of seminal experience was flying into Atlanta to sign that first contract. We get to the airport, there are Klieg lights flashing in the sky like for a movie premiere. There was a crowd pressed up against the police line, and the first thing we heard was, "We interrupt the Johnny Carson show to bring you a special news bulletin. Steve Bartkowski and Lee Steinberg have just arrived at the Atlanta airport."
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
And that's when I saw that athletes could serve as role models, mm-hmm. and if they retrace their roots to the high school, collegiate, and professional community, they could trigger imitative behavior and make a real impact. And so that's been the guiding light of our practice.
So you, you're here, we should mention this, you're hosting the Sports Career Conference at DePaul University tomorrow. And DePaul has all of these, you know, it's a really interesting set of programs that DePaul is developing here. Obviously, it's always had a great music school, but now they're really doing entertainment management programming throughout the university. And it's, and because that's a lot of where business is heading. We're leaving, you know, the industrial economy and going into the service economy, and entertainment and communications, sports, all that has become such a huge player in all this, in a way that even when you started, even at your height, at, like, you know, at the peaks of these contracts being let, this is just the beginning, isn't it?
It really is. I've spoken on about 85 campuses, and everywhere you go, young people either want to be in high tech or entertainment or sports. And so that's why we created a sports career conference, so that young people who were interested in marketing or branding, mm-hmm. or working for a team, a league, an athletic department, or working in broadcast, or working
right.
In all these different areas, had a chance to meet with people who are actually doing it and interact with them. And then we do an agent academy, which trains young people in how to negotiate, how to recruit, all sorts of.
Now, do you want lawyers for that, or anybody can be?
Oh, anybody. It
in my career, my esteemed career, I've noticed that almost anybody could be an agent. I've seen that a few times.
Even you.
Yeah.
So I think the key, and you have many people who are out in the world who've done a profession for a while, and now they sort of want to change. Basically, we're teaching root skills, how to be a good listener, how to negotiate, how to recruit, how to be creative in branding or marketing.
And that's also going to be at this DePaul conference tomorrow.
Absolutely.
How do you know when someone's a good agent? When you have a young agent who's around you, and you're like, wow, that person's going to be something. What is it just that sort of makes, what are those intangibles, or what stands out to you about that person?
Well, I think the first thing is they've got to have a good heart and really a lot of caring. In other words, you have to treat an athlete holistically and really understand how to prepare them, not just for a draft, not just for a career, but for second career, and to try to establish them as a role model. Warwick Dunn, who we represented, has just put the 175th single mother and her family into the first home they'll ever own by making a down payment and moving them in. Then you look for a sterling work ethic. So what I tell young people is, look, you can go to every bachelor party, you can hang out with your friends in bars, you can do all that, but you'll get rolled if you try to come into sports because it's so hyper-competitive. Mm-hmm. There are 1,000 yeah. certified agents trying to represent a couple hundred players.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about what's happened. And we don't have to get into any specific names here, but every week there's some high-profile athlete that's finding his way to the top of TMZ Sports or to some other place to basically be dragged out for something that they've done wrong, right? Or they've been accused of something. And then you've got athletes who are sort of making themselves, without naming any names, there's one high-profile athlete this week that seems to be in the news a lot.
Sure.
That for being trouble on a team. What is happening here? Has that always been the case, and just now there's just more media covering it, so it's
yes.
more to our attention?
Yes.
Or is it each one teach one?
You can compare statistically how many athletes are arrested for drunk driving, domestic violence, all of it, and it's much lower than it's ever been. However, media coverage is much higher, and you have talk radio and multiple websites.
Social media. Anybody can get video of it.
Right. And the point is, all concentrated on what is the aberration. You know, dog bites, man's not a story. Man bites dog is a story.
True, but like in this most recent story, you know, you had a case where a guy tried to get off of his team, right? And it appeared. And was able to, you know, got into a physical confrontation with the general manager, refused to show up. What if you had an athlete like that, what would you be, as the agent, what do you do? Do you let them just be them and then try to clean up the mess? Do you try to steer? If you can't, have you had situations where you can't steer? What do you do?
So we profile athletes coming off a college campus to make sure that they've got good values, the right work ethic, and those are the ones who succeed.
But people can change it. The game can change them, can't it?
It can, but if you're doing the role modeling and you're doing the community and you stay grounded, it really shouldn't. I mean, I have Patrick Mahomes, for example. He hasn't changed.
I wish we had
Don't
Patrick
mention
Mahomes.
That to Rome.
I'm sorry that you
he
mentioned that.
He wishes you placed him here.
Yes, if we only... it was right there! He was sitting right there!
Is totally grounded, is not affected by everything that's going on around him, but his work ethic is stellar. So
he comes from an athletic family, too.
He comes from an athletic family.
I knew his dad when he was here.
So I think the key is, if you had an athlete like this, what's your responsibility as an agent? So that athlete could be standing up here on a 20-story building, getting ready to jump, and he would have sycophants around him, toadies, friends, who would say, law of gravity doesn't apply to you. Go ahead, jump. You can fly. But your job as a responsible lawyer agent is to tell him the truth, mm-hmm. which is that this is not acceptable. In the case you're talking about, the player never wanted to be traded to the team he was traded to, right. wanted to go to another team, and acted out. The way to do those things is behind the scenes. Whenever these controversies break out, either over contract or over disaffection, and it becomes public and you stick an owner against a wall, then it's just much more difficult to solve.
So if a player was on team A, and they wanted to send him to B, but he really wanted to go to C. He can't say, listen, don't send me to B, because this isn't going to work out. Where does the agent get involved? Because I do know that there are contracts that where the talent or the athlete can call that shot, but obviously this guy did not have one of those.
Football is different. Basketball gets free agents that are out there and can be packaged, right?
And we see that.
Basketball has that. Baseball has free agents. Football has very little of this. And so the reality is, it's fine to have those discussions behind the scene. In other words, you can tell Team A, oh my goodness, please don't throw me in the briar patch. You know, do not trade me here. I won't be happy. Just don't do it publicly, because the effect of doing it publicly is, if you don't want to go to the team they want to trade you to,
and you end up there,
and you emote and talk out loud, it makes it impossible for your incumbent mm-hmm. team to get any value for you in trade.
But then why would Team C, which may be the most successful franchise of the 21st century,
Patriots?
You have a cold? that... Why would Team C then decide to take said athlete if he's got all these problems?
And why would it happen so quickly? That it just seemed like it was already kind of
wired.
Done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is all esoteric. We have no idea what we're talking about. Yeah.
So let's say that Team C mm-hmm. thinks they have a unique modular system where they can plug players in and out, and that the system and success is so strong they can take a disaffected person who's acted out in other places or had problems, and just by putting him into that mix, he'll change.
You know, it's funny, 2 weeks ago, or mm-hmm. a week and a half ago, a friend of mine said to me, I'm taking this out of the conversation we just had, Lee, just so you know. I'm talking about something totally different now. He's a Patriots fan, and he said to me, you know, the one thing about the Patriots, let me just tell you something right now.
He's a Chicago guy, but he's a Patriots fan.
Well, I can't do a Boston accent.
Oh, he's Boston.
So he's like, you know, the Patriots, they're wicked strong, wicked great. Uh-huh. They would never take a guy like Antonio Brown.
In the middle of the trouble
before Antonio Brown had gotten released, he said that.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, yeah, well, maybe. And I was thinking to myself, well, maybe, you know, because teams have a team like that wouldn't want him. And that was exactly apparently what it would have been targeted.
Right.
Let's talk about sports in general here, though. Lee, because as you've watched these athletes, what's the difference now in this generation of athletes that you've that you have represented, that you know, that you go back, like you said, to see Barkowski, right?
Right. And so over the years, I've done 62 first round draft picks. The very
62.
First pick in the draft, 8 separate years. I have 10 players in the Hall of Fame, so I have a fair perspective. And
I'd say
that's just in football. We have baseball, basketball,
right?
So. These young people are millennials, and they're part of their generation. They grow up on fast-cutting, computer screen, tweeting, Snapchatting, multitasking. So patience gets attenuated. It's just much shorter.
Right.
And what happens
for
is...
For everybody.
So you better get it out quick. I mean, the days of a coach or an agent sitting with an athlete for an hour and a half going on, huh. It's just not going to happen. You have to sort of compress it.
Compress the messaging to them?
Yes.
Okay. For them to really understand what you're saying.
You know, like those guys on the commercials who talk so fast at the end of the...
Right. And the medical commercials to tell you about the side effects.
Yes. But you still find that athletes are the most disciplined. They already have a work ethic. They have the rest of it. But attention span shorter. The other thing is not a real appreciation for history. So I'm looking at Curt Flood or someone who, or in football, the pension for older players who built the game. They're really, history started now for many millennials, you know, or it'll start when we're done with this interview.
Speaking of millennials, I want to ask you about college athletes and the whole debate right now about should there be some compensation for them. You saw what happened in California, your home state, with the state legislature.
SB 206.
They passed it. They're asking the governor to sign it.
Were you behind that?
Yes.
You want that to happen now?
Were you really behind it is what I'm asking. If you were in favor of it.
Was it you, kind of?
Really, Steinberg,
can you tell us? But now the NCAA is coming out to say, hey, you signed this, Governor Newsom, and guess what? You're not going to be able to compete in college sports and NCAA sports anymore.
Good luck for the NCAA, which is a monopoly, which can be sued on antitrust basis, which...
Not protected like baseball.
Which... takes this massive amount of money for themselves, right? Mm-hmm. Does contracts for themselves. And God forbid that a young athlete, look, let's take an athlete who plays at Northwestern. This is an expensive city to live in. Mm-hmm. If you have someone from an underprivileged background, they may be sending part of their scholarship check home, and they're looking at non-athletes living on the same college campus whose parents are helping them with cars and allowances, or the non-athlete can work during the school year to supplement their income. The athlete can't. So the athletes feel ripped off. They see the big crowds in the stadium. And so what SB 206 does is it says, the first advance was attendance clauses, which added $3,000 or $4,000 more money. We're not talking about paying these players like Rajas, you know, the Sultan of Brunei. We're talking about... a little more money so they can afford to live in a reasonable place and maybe have access to a car and all the rest of it. So what that does is it says the name and likeness of the player is his to market. So instead of
necessarily have to be paid by the university, but it can be paid by...
He can do an outside endorsement.
Right, whatever
it has to be. And so... people, look, it's tough to change the system. Everything you do for a male athlete, you under Title IX, you have to do for an equal number of female athletes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But this is different because it's just based on who the market would want. Now, people will say, well, all the money will go to the superstar. It is the superstars who are most susceptible to taking money from an agent or an alum that causes these NCAA problems.
Yeah.
They're exactly the players. And who are most resentful. So we need to do better for the college athletes.
That's why everybody doesn't breathe from the end of the Michigan game in Columbus, Ohio, until the following season to see who took a car from a booster or whatever it is. I mean, that's always the thing that happens. It's a pleasure to meet you, by the way.
Lee,
thank you so much for being with us. Lee Steinberg, super agent. He is, again, tomorrow going to be at DePaul University. It's a sports career conference. So it's for athletes. It's for agent, people who think that being an agent would be a good career for them, and even broadcasters too?
Broadcasters, marketing, branding, facilities management, everything. And I got a killer partner, Chris Cabot, who also presents, so spending time with a younger agent will be helpful too.
SteinbergSports.com/events has all of the information if you want to do that.
Awesome.
You're a legend. Thank you for being in here.
You have the best view in Chicago, I must say.
Thank you. It's radio, but I know. Everybody
great?
Says that when they come in, and people who listen to the radio are like, "What? I don't see it.
I don't care." Right?
I know. It is the craziest
you've
view,
got
isn't it?
Boats going down the canal.
Navy Pier.
You have a big Ferris wheel behind there.
It looks like toys here. Doesn't it look like a bathtub?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Exactly.
Stunning. We've got the river over here, Lee, we should check out.
Do you have extra
too.
Space?
I know, right.
Be your Chicago home.
Chicago office. You know what? I like to represent for Lee. Hey, Rokan for Lee Steinberg Sports. How you doing?
Exactly.
All right, Seth. Thanks, Lee. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Let's check in now, Kim. What's going on in the newsroom at the top of the hour?
Row the northern suburbs cleaning up today after the area was hit with 2.5 inches of rain last night. We'll have more on the flooding coming up.
Yeah, it's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis on 720 WGN. And we got, let's see, what do we got here? We got a top five at five. Mm-hmm. We've got a Knarble wagon, which is really good. The Dovetail Brewery.
I like beer.
Do you?
Still like beer?
Do you, Justice?
Love beer.
Okay, good. That's excellent, because we like it around here, too. Dovetail is here, and we found a brewery at Hagendost.
No, Hagendost. I actually went to high school with him.
Hagendost?
I didn't know he was coming until I saw this, but yeah, Hagendost.
Hagendost. I love his ice cream.
Yes. He has a lovely sister named Adrian Dost, who was my friend in high school.
You got any embarrassing stories about him in high school?
Yeah, I probably could bring those up. Of course, he might be able to do the same thing for me, so no. I don't actually scratch that.
Remember the time in science class, sophomore year? Right. Well,
these guys have
Remember
been here
party?
Before. Dovetail's been here before.
Yeah, they have.
Yeah.
Party. Cops showed up. You jumped out the second floor window.
Yeah. Remember, you know, forget it.
Exactly.
Nope.
It's like, I'm not
nope,
going
nope,
down.
Nope. Zip. Zip. Zip.
Remember that time?
I do remember when I first got my driver's license. I'll share one thing just to put it out there in case Hagen does share it. I got my car when I was 16. I was driving down Lakeshore Drive, and two of the guys decided that they were going to remove their pants and put their bare bottoms out the window mm-hmm. while I was driving down Lakeshore Drive.
Classic mooning.
And I was
Brad and Chad
out of my mind.
Were Brad and Chad Brad, in your car?
My car, new driver's license.
And so, what kind of car was that?
And I think Hagen's sister was there.
That was Hagen one of them?
A celebrity, a Caprice classic, is that?
Yeah, like
car?
The old cop cars.
Yeah, I had something like that, yeah. My parents did.
I can't see Anna in that, but yeah. It's high school
No, wait, it was
you,
a celebrity, a Chevy celebrity.
Okay.
Chevy celebrity.
I'm a Chevy celebrity. That's a separate issue.
Brad, Chad, put your pants back on.
I was horrified. I mean, you know, had I just been a passenger, I might have thought it was funny, but if you're a new driver, your parents have scared the bejesus out of you, not as funny. Later, it's funny.
Right. Well, you know, Anna grew up on the north side, so it might have been Timmy and Tommy.
No, we had a lot of immigrants at our school, so no one was Timmy and Tommy.
All right.
It was, Stavros and Hagen.
Hagen, right. Exactly. And right, and guys named Mike, whose real names were Mishka.
And all my Asian friends who made up a new name because no one could pronounce their real name.
Yeah, exactly. A lot of Russian guys, too, when you were...
There were Russians. A lot of Eastern Europeans.
Yeah, there was like a whole...
Ukrainians.
Russian, yeah,
we had a Ukrainian club.
Exactly.
Yeah, we had a Ukrainian.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. We did. We had a Ukrainian club.
All right, I got to go here.
There's a lot there. Yes. We'll revisit it.
Yeah, exactly. Yuri, I want you... This is your new classmate. Mikhail, this is Yuri. Vladimir, Yuri, Mikhail. Just call him Mishka. All right, here we go.
I did have a friend, Mishka.
Of course you did.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right, it is time now for this, isn't it?
Let's go.
It is. All right, hold on. Here we go. Now we got trouble. Here, there.
It's the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, three, two, one.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Checking in at
number five.
Of all the things that happened in the primary debate last night, the Democrat debate last night.
Yes.
This was without question my favorite. Please welcome Andrew Yang, salesman game show host.
I'm going to do something unprecedented tonight. My campaign will now give a freedom dividend of $1,000 a month for an entire year to 10 American families, someone watching this at home right now. If you believe that you can solve your own problems better than any politician, go to yang2020.com and tell us how $1,000 a month will help you do just that. This is how we will get our country working for us again, the American people.
Kamala Harris.
It's original. Yes. I'll give you that.
Yeah, and then Pete Buttigieg. Now, I like Kamala Harris laughing because she's an attorney general, right? She's a former attorney general. She's like, oh my God, that's totally illegal what you just did.
No, he's talking about universal income. Oh, you mean just giving it away to 10 people?
Yes. Right, they go to his website, like buying their votes. There's like a whole thing that goes
with that. The Yang Gang. Yeah. He's got it going on.
Sure.
You think he'd be more popular.
That was a highlight, though. I like the idea that, you know, and Trump is at home going, why didn't I think of that?
Did you see at the end, Andrew Yang went to the cameras. I think CNN was still on the debate as they were breaking up and hugging, and he goes up to the cameras, like, kissing it and waving at it.
Oh, I know. He's he's very fun. He's fun. But I said that about Trump, too, when he was running and he became president. Oh, God. All right. But then there was this very awkward moment where Joe Biden literally is living in 1968.
We bring social workers into homes of parents to help them deal with how to raise their children. It's not that they don't want to help. They don't know quite what to do. Play the radio. Make sure the television, make sure you have the record player on at night. The phone. Make sure the kids hear words. A kid coming from a very poor school, or a very poor background, will hear 4 million words fewer spoken by the time they get there. I'm going to go like the rest of them.
Thank you. That's it.
You might
want to
stop there, actually, as your campaign manager.
Yeah. Right, that was his campaign manager. Thank you, Mr. Vice President.
No, no,
thank you. He said photograph. For God's sake, shut up. I like how he led with radio, though. You know, radio's still relevant. But he took television off the table, which I liked. It was television, and he took it off the table.
Because aren't there rules about pediatricians and TV exposure?
No, it's because television hadn't been invented yet in his brain.
Okay, he was still back there.
Yeah.
Doesn't help.
No.
That doesn't help.
No. I don't know. This literally is like, this is the way I feel as a Bears fan right now. I'm like, I'm not sure Mitchell Trubisky is going to be the guy. What do we got?
Only the first game. I would say this is a slower kind of thing where people keep trying to give him a chance and then these things come out.
Pete Buttigieg looks like he can get out of the pocket. Maybe we should...
he's a scrambling quarterback for sure.
Yeah, for sure. He's scrambling.
Option quarterback.
I don't know if he's got the long ball, but I think he's got...
intermediate passes.
He's crafty.
Game manager.
I'll take a game manager with his defense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't turn the ball over, Buttigieg.
He's got intangibles. Did I say he could speak French?
Ball security's job security,
right.
Buttigieg.
Exactly. I think that's pretty much your only hope.
When do they trim this down? It's getting ridiculous.
It's going up for the next debate.
What?
11 people from 10.
My God.
Yeah.
Did you see that what Marianne Williamson said, that the Republicans are treating her better than the Democrats?
Mm-hmm. Because they want her to stay in.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
You're doing great, Marianne. Yeah. Keep
She's
it
amazing.
Going.
And now they want Beto to stay in. They want Beto to go, I'm taking all your guns next. Because the AR-15, I mean, he just wanted to do a mandatory buyback for the AR-15. I mean, I'm willing to listen. How much are they going to spend? What are you going to offer? That's, you know, there's that. But this is now, you know, this is like, I watched that whole thing last night. I'm like, you have a guy who's eminently beatable. I mean, you almost have to just run a complete putz to lose. And I watched this last night, and I'm like, all I see are complete putts.
You're like, there might be one or two up there. yeah, it's concerning.
And Bernie, I swear to God, I thought he ran out of oxygen at one point. That there's going to be a moment where Bernie goes down, and Kamala Harris is going to have to give him CPR, and then there's going to be a love story. I don't know, the whole thing. Let's find out from Kim what's coming up in the news at the bottom.
Roe, we're following the case of adult and teen charged with murder in the death of a mother of eight. We'll have details coming up.
Traffic being brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation.
This week on Chicago's Best, it's all about juicy, meaty, tender goodness from porterhouse steak to whole fish. It's Chicago's Best Off the Bone, Sunday night at 10 on WGN-TV.
Top 5-5. We played two cuts already. We're up to
number 3.
Kim Kardashian West was on The View, and she's talking about, you know, she's taking this law school thing very seriously, even though she's not going to law school.
What is she doing?
She is interning at a law firm so that she can become a lawyer, so she can take the bar. All I have to do is take the bar. I have to go to law school. This is for reals.
I was not a college person. I did not like school. I love this. I'm obsessed. Everyone's partying Fashion Week, going to every amazing party, and I'm sitting home in my room on Barbary, which is like this lecture course, and studying and reading and preparing for this big contracts test I have, and I love it, and I have no FOMO of not being out at these parties.
Look at the turnaround. Look at the sacrifice that she is making there by not going to Fashion Week. Everybody is going. We're all going. Everybody's going.
She's staying
home and studying. Like everybody else who is ever a doctor or a lawyer.
Or a normal person not going to Fashion Week.
Oh, my God. All right.
She says CBD saved her life, though, by the way. There's another thing she revealed.
Okay.
So.
Yes. Because she had. Why?
She had some kind of relaxation issues.
Oh, she couldn't relax. Everybody can relax. I can't relax. Oh, God. All right.
Number 2.
All right. There have been some very entertaining football coaches throughout history, right?
Sure have.
Oh, yeah. You think
right
about
here
it.
In Chicago.
Yes, right here in Chicago, right? Well, now comes a new contender you've never heard of. Former Montana Tech coach Bob Green. He coached the Ore Diggers for 24 seasons before retiring in 2010. He's a former Marine, a Vietnam vet, and still works for the school. And he has now made the list as perhaps most entertaining football coach ever.
The key to the win was that the Ore Diggers took control early. Kind of like when you get married. That first day, your wife takes control early. And that's what the Ore Diggers did.
Our football team was like the kid that plays second French horn in the school band. We got to play better. You know, and that's a double-edged sword, you know. It's kind of like watching your mother-in-law go off a cliff in a Cadillac. You know, you got mixed feelings.
First of all, they got after it hard. I'm telling you, they were like a hobo on a ham sandwich. They were going hard.
I love that guy.
It's so great. How come I didn't know about this guy?
Because it was Montana Tech. That's why you didn't know about him.
Yeah, that makes sense now.
And Kim Kardashian didn't tell you about him because she was home studying.
On her CBDs.
It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. She is more reprehensible now, I think.
Number 1.
Eddie Money, the singer, saxophonist, has died. Brooklyn-born, Long Island-raised rocker, born Eddie Mahoney, broke in the music scene after moving to Berkeley, California in the late 60s, after nearly a decade honing his craft in the Bay Area rock scene with manager Bill Graham. He inked a deal with Columbia Records, which distributed his self-titled album in 1977. And that record opens with perhaps the singer's most enduring hit. I've got And then one of the great ballads of the era. That song landed in the top 25 and went double platinum, beginning a decade-long stretch where the singer's tracks routinely charted despite being largely disregarded by rock critics at the time. Eddie Money scored the biggest hit of his career, though, in 1986 with... Take me home tonight. Eddie Money was 70 years old.
The top five at five.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
Yeah! Drink, man, I'm gonna get gas. Gonna get high, man, I ain't had enough. Need me a triple shot of that stuff. Gonna get drunk, won't you listen right here? I want one bourbon, one shot, one beer, one bourbon, one scotch, one beer.
Tastes great, makes women appear more attractive, and makes a person virtually invulnerable to criticism.
Alcohol is a way of life. Alcohol is my way of life. And I aim to keep it.
Find it, buy it, make it. I don't care. Just get me some booze and fast.
I can't take this much longer. I gotta have a beer.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
He's like that black lab on the first day of pheasant hunting season. He was pulling at the chain. I wanted to raise my kids using a depth chart. Can you imagine that? I wanted that. Pam Green vetoed that idea. Some aspects look like we're really ready to play. A couple of other aspects look like we just got off Willie Nelson's tour bus.
Man, I got to go to a Montana Tech game.
Yeah, he's no longer coaching there.
Oh.
I want him to be my life coach.
I know. That guy, you know what? That's like how Dr. Phil started, right? Like Oprah saw Dr. Phil being like, you know, like that, homespun and all countrified. And she's like, I need him. And then the next thing you know, he's like, what were you thinking? And then, you know, the whole world changed. This is a guy we need. This
he's
guy
the one.
Teaching the kids the things.
Totally. Imagine if you woke up every day with him shouting at you. How much more you'd get done.
I completely believe that. All right, listen. But you know what keeps me from getting stuff done when I wake up in the morning? Alcohol. And it's the Carnarvon Wagon, and it's here. And Dovetail Brewery, one of our favorites, and Beguile. Dovetail and Beguile, which are you're like neighbors or something, right? Isn't that how that works?
That is true.
As a matter of fact, it's true.
Yeah, you guys are two of the on the north side. This is the best brewing town in America, without question. Now,
agreed.
There's no two ways about it. Even the stuff that was all small batch now is, you know, it's swept the nation. And the small batch stuff is even better. The real small batch stuff now is even better than that. It will eventually sweep the nation. And you guys, especially, like up, you have like this like magic corridor. There must be something in the water intake pipes that are coming into the north side, into like the Lincoln Square area, and all of that have changed everything. Is that what you would give? Is that what Dovetail and Beguile would credit for that?
Oh yeah, it's definitely the water.
That's what they say in New York.
Nothing you guys do.
Yeah, we actually have a tagline now for our neighborhood. It's called Malt Row.
Malt Row.
Like that.
No relation. Yes, I like that a lot, too. So Kevin Carey is with us. He's from Beguile. And then Bill Weselick, who's been here before. He's a co-owner of Dovetail. And this is, along with the guy that you went to high school with.
Hagen Dose. Yeah, you couldn't be here today.
I hope that's true.
Not because I told an embarrassing story about everyone from high school earlier today. Mentioned his name.
He's tending to the ice cream.
Oh, so he's got things to do. Yeah. Okay, tell Hagen I said hi.
Apparently we'll Hagen pressed ham and... And it's Caprice Classic, and that was something. I don't know. What are you going to do?
The window is open. I don't know if that's the same.
So we're heading into Oktoberfest here, gentlemen.
Oh, yeah.
This is the most important beer season of the year. I hope that you are all prepared for this. There will be festivals. There will be brewery tours. There will be people sitting around going, what are we going to do on a Saturday afternoon? Because it's now gunmetal sky gray, and we have, and it's we need to drink. Isn't that basically, this is your Christmas right now.
It is time to don the lederhosen and hoist a stein.
Why not?
All right. Now, this is the thing. And I like beer. Kev, do you like beer?
Love beer. I like beer.
Yep, I like beer.
Still like beer?
Now, the thing is, these guys were in, by the way, last year, right after.
The Kavanaugh hearings, yeah.
So they've already heard this comedy once, and here we are 11 months later still doing it. but they brought more beer than I think we can consume, because Anna and I have to go off and host this Black Tie starting in about
MCs.
An hour. So we're like, so I don't know what we can do here. So I'll just take a little sippy poo of each one. I just want to know what it is that we're doing. Let's start with the Beguile here.
Sure. Depending on the glass, I think that one, yep. That is Beguile Blonde Ale. So that's our flagship American Blonde Ale. It's brewed with honey. It's about 5.5%.
It's our best-selling beer in Chicago, and as of April of this year, available at Wrigley Field.
How about that? Congratulations.
Really?
Yeah.
That's we are awesome. Officially
on the tap or in cans?
It's on tap in the W Club. And then it is also available in 16-ounce cans on the 200 level, right behind that mezzanine that's sort of between 200 and 300.
Don't try to explain it. I swear to God. They have made it into a maze. They just have to put cheese around and I'll find my seat. That's the only way to do it. It's awfully confusing now, but it's beautiful what they've done.
I like how they celebrate, you know, local great food and drink. It's amazing. Yep.
We are the smallest brewery available at Wrigley Field. So, if that's a title to be worn.
How many people you got working?
We have 15.
Wow.
Yeah.
And you do that? How many cases are you pushing?
We will do upwards of 40,000 cases this year, close to 50.
That's amazing. And it's all done right here on the north side.
Yep. Yeah, we work with right next to Dovetail. We also use a brewery called Great Central, which is over by Goose Island. They help us with some excess capacity because one of the beauties about our neighborhood is that our buildings are old and historic manufacturing buildings, but our building we've maxed out there. So,
That's too bad.
I'm glad you mentioned Goose Island because they're such an interesting part of this whole recreation of Chicago and as a beer capital. And they have done so much, and they really want to develop all these brands too. They like the idea that there's so many craftsmen working in this town, because it's just part of the thing. And they, you know, it has totally changed the way that I look at my consumption, because I had totally moved over to wine, and now beer has brought me totally back because it's so interesting. There's so many things going on. The flavor profiles, you can understand it. There's an art to it as opposed to with all due respect, Kevin.
You're going to insult his beer?
Miller Lite.
I mean, all beer.
I mean, I like Miller Lite's fine, but I mean, this is, it really is interesting stuff.
Yeah, it's fun. I think, you know, the cool thing about what we do is we are small enough, and big companies do this as well, but we have a little less risk in innovation. I think that's why, you see.
Take a risk.
7,500 breweries now in the U.S. When we opened, there was only 2,000. I thought that was a lot at the time. For us to brew a smaller beer and put out a smaller quantity, it's not as risky to take chances and innovate.
Now, Kevin, at Begal, you also gave me this little beer. When I see a beer in a little glass that's like bigger, a little bit bigger than a shot glass, I know something dangerous is happening with it.
So this,
what is this?
This tiny glass is a 5-ounce taster that I stole from our tap room.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, that's good.
And it's American Pale Ale called Freebird. It is
perfect.
It has a phoenix, I guess you would say, on the label. It's a fun beer we do. American Pale Ale is kind of one of the original craft styles, I would say, American craft styles. So Sierra Nevada made Sierra Nevada Pale Ale is kind of iconic.
Right.
And so this fits into our lineup. It's our second best selling beer. So we brought number one and number two. So this is 5.
Jaron, when they give me like the little beer,
you're worried there's high alcohol
content. It's like a 9.2 ABV, and you're like, oh, you're fine.
I thought it looked kind of like a chaser
from
Bloody Mary.
Yes, I like the old pony. I like that.
I meant to bring the strong beer, but I forgot. So I was going to bring a barley wine.
Right, because you're drinking your own supply. That's what's going on there. All right, Bill, what do we have from Dovetail?
All right, well, the lightest style here is lightest glasses are Helles. This is, means light or bright in German. Mm-hmm. So just a nice light lager. This is our number one seller. You know, nice malty, slightly floral flavor from the hops.
How do you get that floral flavor? Or is it a secret?
Just the hops. Yeah, Saphir hops.
It's a certain hops. Strain of the hop that you look for.
Yeah, this one's just a little bit more floral. Some of the other hops in our beer is a little bit more spicy.
Are these hops from Europe, or are they?
They are. Uh-huh. Yep. So we source all our raw materials from Europe.
Interesting.
Yep. Yeah. So we, we specialize in continental style lagers and ales, and you know, we really like tradition and you know, well-made traditional beers.
What is it that makes the European beers so phenomenal? I mean,
they've been doing it for a really long time.
So they kind of get it down, the recipe, the whole, the hops.
When you see 14-something on the label.
It freaks you out a little bit.
Like from 1432, you're like, I'm sorry, what is that number? Is that an address? What is that? What is that? Wow, that's excellent.
It is.
That is
really,
really
good.
All right, as we keep moving along.
So we're moving up in ABV here. The second one is our Vienna style lager.
Oh, I love these.
You know, so you get a little bit more caramely malty flavor, a little bit more spicy of the hops. It's our number two seller.
This is
a Vienna style. We don't name any of our beers. We just kind of call it for what it is.
All right, and so you just look for the Dovetail and wherever fine Dovetail is sold, right? Are you guys in Whole Foods?
We are Whole Foods and the Binnie's. We just signed up with a distributor earlier this year, so sales are booming right now. And
nice.
Can't make enough accountant, beer. But how many cases are you guys pushing out?
Oh, geez, I don't know what the case equivalent is, but I think right now, this year, we're at about 2,300 barrels. Kevin, you know how many cases that is?
Is that the metric system?
No, that's American U.S. barrels.
Then I believe that would be somewhere around 30,000 if you round up.
All right. So hopefully by the end of the year, we'll hit about 3,000 U.S. barrels. How many cases is that?
That'd be about 40,000.
All right.
If you round it up.
Nice. Yeah.
This is sounding like a podcast now all of a sudden, isn't it? All right. And then, I love this Vienna.
We could call it math. The podcast.
Yeah, I was never really good at that.
Why doesn't it work here?
If you had a phonograph, Joe Biden would want to have us playing that at home. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. And then finally.
So the last one. This is your creme de la creme. This is our fest beer.
Oh, I love a fest beer.
So this is the beer we'll be showcasing at the Oktoberfest anniversary on October 12th and 13th.
Oh, that's good delicious. That tastes like a holiday right there.
Oh, man. That's you know, those gray clouds and lederhosen.
That's what that is. What's the ABV on that?
This one is 6.3.
Yeah.
So just enough to have a good time, but low enough to have a lot of them.
You know, that's the funny thing about that. See, that's the deal. Under 6.5, that's the sweet spot right there. You can have two of those, and you're like, nothing will bother you in the world.
Two, three, four, five, you know.
And then three, four, five, you start to get bothered by the world. Or at least I do.
And then number six, you're over it again.
Right. Number six, it's night-night. All right, you guys are simply the best. When is your Oktoberfest?
October 12th and 13th, 2019. So coming up actually 4 weeks from tomorrow. And it is 12 to 10 p.m. both days. Conveniently located outside of Dovetail Brewery on 1800 West Bell Plain.
Yeah. Food trucks.
Food
bands.
Trucks. We got a dog food truck.
I saw that. Even the little dogs and cats can...
Family friendly. We have the balloon guy. His name escapes me right now, but he's
balloon
fantastic.
Guys are really big. That's for sure.
It's usually the longest line at the festival is the balloon guy.
Make me a bicycle clown. All right,
where's my octopus?
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much. Let's find out from Kim what's happening at the top of the hour.
Riot Fest is underway in Chicago this weekend. WGN's Michael Heidemann will have a preview coming up.
Kim Gordon standing by in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, and then we got live music Friday. Justin Kaufman's going to take over for us as we head off to our big event that we're going to be hosting tonight, and he's going to, he's going to get you ready for a number of things here, my friend. Connor Murphy's going to be here. Do not let him get injured, and wait till you hear this band.
Oh, they're
this band,
fantastic.
They are literally shaking our studio. That's all coming your way on the other side of...
All right, it's the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantes. I'm Justin Kaufman filling in for the final hour, but Jen DeSalvo and Kim Gordon and Kevin Powell are here to help us along the way. How you doing, Kev? Good to see you,
buddy. Good to see you. You too, my man.
So this is a big weekend for Blackhawks hockey. The training camp is underway today. Some drills and some defense conditioning.
Yeah, I'm interested to, we'll have Connor Murphy coming up. I'm interested to hear exactly the ins and outs of how Jeremy Colliton handles camp. Because remember, this is his first camp.
Right.
He didn't take over until, a few weeks into the season for Joel Quenneville. So first full year for Jeremy Colliton. And I think for me, being so excited about hockey season returning is how well the Hawks played down the stretch last year. I mean, if you looked the second half of the year, they had a playoff-type record. It's just the hole they fell in so early on. So I think they kind of, it was sort of a teaser for a lot of Blackhawks fans, where it's like, you know what, I think things are really starting to click with the new coach, and there's been a lot of changes this offseason in terms of adding different talent to the roster.
Very active offseason.
Very active for Stan Bowman. So I think we're all very excited to see this thing come together. Of course, the core still remains, but they've added more depth at the goalie position and at the blue line as well. So excited to get some hockey going. And Dean Richards and Steve Cochran will be out there Sunday for the Training Camp Festival, which is free. Lot C, United Center. You can go hang out, all sorts of fun stuff for the family. And those guys will be doing a broadcast. And then the scrimmage gets going at 11, which I do want to go in because, yes, I want to watch the hockey. But the new video board at the United Center, which if you haven't seen yet, look it up, the rendering, the video teaser that the Blackhawks and Bulls put out there. It's ridiculous. And the United Center is already one of the best places to watch a hockey or a basketball game.
It's amazing what they do with that. Yeah.
There's upgrades every year at the UC, so I can't wait to see it. It looks like a transformer. The thing's like moving around. Video boards are going up and down. So, you know, it's a good chance if you got that hockey itch. If you're missing your Blackhawks, go see them actually play and skate at the UC.
Yeah, how about a training camp festival on Sunday at the United Center? I think the lot C, the doors to that lot open at 8, but they also have the scrimmage, which will be at 11. Let's bring Connor Murphy in. He's our guest today after a grueling practice to start training camp, or are they just kind of going through the motions, Connor?
It was fun, and it's nice to kind of kick off the pace of the summer. A lot of times it's hard to replicate the in-season competitiveness, so we had a lot of battle drills and a little bit of conditioning skate at the end, so definitely got your body into it right away, which is, I think, the way to do it. It's fun to, I mean, especially as a D-man, you like to be able to defend and battle hard to start the camp off right.
You know, for you, obviously staying in Chicago this summer and keeping conditioning as a rule for any hockey player, but these are some when you see some of the video of practice, it is some nasty stuff you guys are doing. A lot of really, it puts some of that basketball to shame. What are you ready for that? Do you know that's coming? So are you ready when it's the first day of training camp?
Yeah, it's kind of the typical thing to start the camp off. You want to have the mindset of battling hard and making sure that you're ready for that in-game intensity, and you want to prove to your coaches and management that you're ready to compete. And in order to win in the NHL, you have to battle hard and compete, and a lot of times it has to do with being physical and being able to take a hit if you're a forward and still making plays and scoring goals. So you definitely know that that's going to come right off the bat, and then you still mixed in with that before, we still have our video meetings and we work on some systems to make sure everyone's on the same page and that we're not too sloppy flying around a little out of control. So the exhibition games help to get that under control, and then obviously the scrimmage, the training camp festival on Sunday is a good way for us to work on things and to get back into playing in front of our fans and enjoying the United Center.
How beneficial will it be for the team to have a full offseason, a full camp with new coach Jeremy Colliton, not taking anything away from Q at all, but there was some in-season transition. So now you have a coach with his continuity leading from the end of last year, offseason, camp, and then the start of the year.
Right. I think that's important. He didn't have a really extended amount of practice times when he took over midway through last season. And especially when you're playing games every odd day, you're not getting the time to work on things. And we have a few weeks now to do it. And training camp's really meant for that. And you try to get yourself, obviously, in good shape. There's a lot of guys come in ready to go in good shape from the summer. But you try to get up to game speed. And on top of that, you're trying to make sure everyone's putting in our identity as a team the way that this coaching staff will want it.
You know, there's a lot made in this offseason about revamping and improving the defense. Some guys, some vets coming in, of course, some that are hurt haven't hit the ice yet. But for you, what does that mean to bring in all these vets around you and to revamp the defense? What do you have to do this camp to make sure you guys are all on the same page?
Yeah, it's definitely nice to have guys that have the experience. They've been on a couple different teams, Calvin Pond, and then let's get Olimata, two D-men that have
been a lot of experience and success with their other teams, and they know how to defend and play with a team, and a lot of stuff. It's not too crazy of differences and habits and getting to know the new team. So it's definitely fun to have these times, and even the last few weeks, guys have been early into the city getting their living situations down and get to know the guys, and that way you're not too lost and you have each other to kind of work with. So it's exciting to have those new guys, especially when they have the caliber of talents that specific guys we've gotten. And for SD, it's important, and we have unbelievable goalies. So hopefully SD can pull the slack and keep more pucks out too.
You know, Rowe nearly went into a panic attack earlier because he heard me reporting on the shoulder surgery recovery for Calvin DeHaan, Kirby Dachshund concussion protocol. Before he left at 6, he said, "Do not injure our guy Connor Murphy." So we were told, "Stay healthy, Connor. We need you on the ice this year, right?"
Yeah, I know. I'm trying. We're definitely in good shape. We don't like to jinx it, but it's part of the game. And I think those guys that have been making the be good soon too.
Connor Murphy, defenseman for the Chicago Blackhawks, joining us to talk about the start of training camp and the training camp festival, which is coming up this week. And Connor, thanks for taking the time out. We appreciate it.
No, it's a good time. Yeah, have a good one, guys.
Right, thanks, Connor.
There you go. Yeah, it's going to be a great festival out at the United Center, the training camp festival this Sunday. What a great idea. You know, because the Bears have the camp that's the Bourbonnais, and people right. can go down there. Spring training, of course, brings so many people to Arizona. But for the Blackhawks to do a training camp festival to bring people out, it's awesome.
Yeah, and remember, if you are going, it's just $5 for a ticket, general admission seating. Meaning, if you ever dreamt about watching a game on the glass, right?
Early,
see
right?
Jonathan Toews up close. So there's your opportunity. You get a good seat at the United Center. Watch all your favorite Hawks players play Sunday at 11.
That's right. And Steve Cochran and Dean Richards will be broadcasting from the Outdoor Festival Sunday starting
at 9.
And
you get a Kaner bobblehead commemorating the 10th anniversary of the first three-peat. So you get the first 10,000, get a Kaner.
All right. Let's find out what's coming up in the 6:30 news. David Jennings?
Well, we've got lots of water, and it's starting to rise. Jen?
Tonight, the White Sox are on the West Coast for some late-night baseball in Seattle. Sox Mariners tonight at 9 on WGN TV Sports. All right. It's the Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVellantes here on 720 WGN Chicago. Of course, they're not here. I'm Justin Kaufman, but Kevin Powell's here. Jen DeSalvo's here. Kim Gordon, or David Jennings in for Kim now. And we've got a rockin' treat for you here on the
These
Ro Khan
dudes just
show.
Scream rock and roll.
There's
walking
the heart.
Through the halls. They got skulls on their shirt. They got long hair. I like these guys.
This is the band Wunderlich out of Elgin in the Chicago area, of course. Jeff Wunderlich, Rob Davenport, Dan Keller, they're all here. They're going to play some music for us. They got some shows coming up at the Fremont Bar and Grill in Westmont coming up tomorrow night. And also, this is great, the Brower House in Lombard next week opening up for Sebastian Bach from Skid Row. How about that?
Very cool.
So you know, why don't we do this? Why don't we get a song? This is going to be Shiver from the band Wunderlich here on 720 WGN. Take it away, guys. We'll be right back.
Let's go.
There you go.
I'm fired up now.
The band Wonderlic in studio, the hard rock band from Elgin, Illinois. And, of course, they're playing at the Fremont Bar and Grill in Westmont tomorrow night and also the Brower House in Lombard. Coming up, open up for Sebastian Bach, the singer for Skid Row. All right, guys, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take a break here so we get to the news. We come back, I want to talk to you guys and hear some more live music in our performance studio. Bill Malone's outdone himself as the engineer, having Wonderlic.
Sounds great.
In studio, rocking us here on a Friday night in the Row and Anna Show. All right, we'll take a quick break, and we'll come back, get the headlines, and more live music in studio here on 720 WGN. Pro Con with Anna DeVellante Show. I'm Justin Kaufman in for them as they took off to get ready for the Green Tie Ball tonight. It's a big function they've been talking about all week. I think all the crew's going to be over there at some point
or another. Yeah, we'll be heading over there in a little bit.
We got a little extension 720 coming up next, but it's just really an hour until White Sox baseball on the West Coast, playing in Seattle tonight. And we'll have that call, of course, here on 720 WGN. You heard the music, the live music of Wonderlic from Elgin, and these guys are going to be playing in Westmont at the Fremont Bar and Grill tomorrow night. Also at the Brower House in Lombard coming up, opening for Sebastian Bach. That's next weekend. And they are in studio tonight. Jeff Wonderlic, Rob Davenport, and Dan Keller. Guys, thanks for being here. Thanks for playing live. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So give us a little backstory on the band. Where'd you guys meet, and why hard rock?
Hard rock is the best.
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't like Metallica, right? Or love Metallica. So, I mean, we just love playing that type of music. So.
Yeah. And how did you guys meet? Was it something that you guys have been and sort of been together for a long while? Or was it sort of you all liked hard rock in different ways and came together?
Rob and I were in a band probably about 5 years ago. And we kind of parted ways. And then we got back together. And then we got Dan last year. And he's been the backbone of the band, brought the energy into the band, and we really appreciate it, and it's getting us to where we all need to be.
Metal, hard rock, is Chicago a metal town? I mean, is this a town that supports hard rock bands? And because I used to remember the Thirsty Whale and other places like that, they were really sort of, that was their specialty. Are there still bars that are particular to this genre of music?
I would say so. I mean, it just depends on the crowd, you know? I mean, maybe more towards different areas, like maybe even Wisconsin and whatnot. Also, they like to promote original music a lot. So,
you mentioned Metallica. Who else you got? Who's on your playlist?
My playlist: Seven Dust, of course, and Tool. How about you, Rob?
Yeah, Metallica, Seven Dust, Tool, Megadeth. I actually bridged the gap there.
I love this.
How about you, Danny?
I'm a big Pantera fan. Machine Head, Tool, obviously Seven Dust. Yeah. All following great drummers, great musicians.
Yeah.
It used to, I keep thinking, you know, because this is music I grew up on, and I think you guys did too in this area, and I think about, you know, even I remember the Blaze, which was the radio station, and the 80s. But I feel like, you know, for a long time, it seems like the radio and popular music turned their back on hard rock and metal. But there's still so many communities, and there's so many fans for this type of music.
This is true.
Absolutely,
we totally agree with that, and that's why, you know, with the Brower House, you know, we're playing with Skid with Sebastian Bach. You know, it's going to be a great venue. That type of music, a lot of great fans that love that type of music, and you know, we're so happy and honored to play there. So we would like to thank Steve Brower from Brower House for having us open for them, as well as Susie Jensen as our management from 1126, and she's helped put this together and helped us get here too. And we'd like to thank Jeff Carlin also for we can't forget him.
Can't forget Jeff, right?
No. And Bill, the engineer.
Bill Malone doing the work today. All right, so the band Wonderlic in studio, that's Jeff Wonderlic, Rob Davenport, and Dan Keller. We heard the song Shiver. Let's hear the next one, which is called Let It Go. They're live in our performance studio. Here they are, the band Wonderlic. Take it away, guys. About. That's awesome. Wunderlich in the studio, performance studio here on 720 WGN, the hard rock band. That song called Let It Go. They're going to be playing at the Fremont Bar and Grill coming up in Westmont, and also at the Brower House in Lombard, opening up for Sebastian Bach next week on the 20th. They got the Cubby Bear in Wrigleyville also coming up in November, so they got lots to do. Let's do one more song. Let's do another song. We'll do this. We'll take a break, and then we'll come back, and we'll do some more live music in our performance studio. Let's find out what's coming up in the headlines. David Jennings. David?
Mess is the word to describe service if you are heading outbound on Metra's Southwest line. Jen?
All right. It's Justin Kaufman in for Ro and Anna today here on 720 WGN. I'm going to stick around and do the hour plus before the Sox head out to Seattle to play the Mariners. Pre-game starting at 8:30, so I'm with you for an hour or so more here on 720 WGN. We've got live music in our studio, which is amazing. The Elgin bass band Wunderlich is here, the hard rock, high octane, original songwriting band out of the area. They got some big shows coming up. Fremont Bar and Grill tomorrow in Westmont. And then Brower House in Lombard, which will be on September 20th, opening up for Sebastian Bach, which is awesome. They'll be at the Cubby Bear North in Wrigleyville coming up in November 1st. We just heard a couple of songs, and we're going to hear a couple of more from the band Wunderlich, who are live in our performance studio. They are Jeff Wunderlich, Rob Davenport, and Dan Keller. Thanks to Bill Malone as well for engineering this session. We heard the song Let It Go. Here's the song Reason, 720 WGN. GN, take it away, guys.
I don't know. I miss the ways I used.